Hello out there, and welcome to IMPACT, the official podcast of Drexel University School of Education's Education Doctorate Program. I'm Dr. Deanna Hill, here with my podcasting partner, Dr. Stephanie Smith-Budai, and we're pleased to have Dr. Steve Stunder join us today on IMPACT. Dr. Stunder is the Director of Human Services Management and School Counseling Graduate Programs and an Assistant Professor of Human Services at Chestnut Hill College. We're very excited to have Dr. Stunder as a guest today to learn about the impact that his Drexel EdD has had on his leadership and his scholarship. So Dr. Stunder, tell us about what you've been up to professionally since you graduated with your EdD in Educational Leadership and Management from Drexel.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here today. This is very exciting because of the impact that Drexel really had on my education and my career. So since I left Drexel, I've come to Chestnut Hill College, which is in the Germantown section of Philadelphia, and I came in as a professor of human services. I've had the opportunity since I've been here at Chestnut Hill to revamp the entire human services program at the graduate level. It used to be called Administration of Human Services, and now the program is Human Services Management. The goal of this program is to train professionals in the human services field to be directors and supervisors and go out in the world and be agents of change. We wanted to put the name management in the degree because we wanted to communicate very deliberately that these are individuals who are going to go into management positions. We have been able to fill our roster of adjuncts with all individuals who are currently directors or assistant directors in the field and are able to provide our students with firsthand knowledge and understanding of what it takes to run a human services organization, which is my background. I've worked in the human services field for years. I've worked at a variety of human services providers as a director or assistant director. So when this position came available, the opportunity to be a full-time faculty member and do so at a college that has a great mission and a great community, I really jumped on that opportunity. We've also pointed our program to be completely online at this point. We made that change over the summer just now. The pandemic really taught us that we want to meet people where they are, and working professionals need the opportunity to be able to access their studies online, especially in a field like human services where people are working different shifts. People have an opportunity to work asynchronously and can do their best to improve their educational standing so that they can get better jobs in their field. We also added school counseling within the last year as well. I'm also a former school counselor. I've lived a lot of professional lives and a lot of parallel roads. So as a former high school guidance counselor, we also added school counseling as our master's options as well. One of the most exciting pieces that we're doing here at Chestnut Hill is over the next couple of years, we are developing programs for individuals that are neurodiverse. We have two distinct programs. One is a program for individuals who are seeking degrees. They would come to Chestnut Hill College, and they would be accepted into our School of Undergraduate Studies, and they would have a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder or some other neurodiverse diagnosis. They would receive robust supports and the opportunity to go to college, get a degree, and be able to go out into the world and have a career of their choosing. We also have another program that we're opening, starting as a day program in the fall of 2023, which is a life skills through career program for individuals who have autism spectrum disorder or are developmentally disabled and are 21 and over. They would receive life skills and vocational training in a two-year program to be able to go out into the world and live a life of independence or interdependence of their choosing and be able to take advantage of the Chestnut Hill community, both on our main campus and on our Sugarloaf campus, which is right up the street on Germantown Avenue from us. Been able to publish a couple of articles, which is exciting. I'm on the editorial board for the Interdisciplinary Journal for Advances in Research and Education. And I also host a podcast every week called Pay Attention, which is a spin on mindfulness. We have a different topic every week, and it's an opportunity to be able to share a little bit of my own personal experience. I've worked as a therapist also for the last 15 years. So just to be able to provide some insight, I only do about 15, 20 minutes. I feel like I try to hit people with some quick hits, maybe while they're taking a walk or they're on the exercise bike or they're on their lunch break. But I record that every Monday, and you can find that anywhere that you find podcasts currently, Spotify, Apple, Google, et cetera.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Sunder. That was an incredible introduction. And it's clear that you have been quite busy since completing your EDD. So as you are aware, the Drexel EDD in Educational Leadership and Management is designed to prepare scholarly practitioners to identify and address problems of practice in their own professional context. And you talked about a lot of that already, especially with meeting the needs of students who are neurodiverse. But what made the Drexel EDD appealing to you? And then what were you looking for in a doctoral program when you decided on Drexel?
One of the things that was most appealing to me at the time was the opportunity to be involved with a hybrid program, I think would be number one. I have four children. I was working a full-time job, and the opportunity to be able to go to school and do so in a hybrid format was incredibly appealing. And that's something I've carried over into my current profession, understanding and recognizing that the hybrid format or the online format is really good for working professionals and people who have children and things of that nature. I approach the creation of our program with the feeling of, if this didn't exist, I would not have been able to get my doctorate. There was no way I'd be able to go to school full-time during the day with a job and all the responsibilities that I had as a parent and a professional. The second biggest impact was probably the problem-solving nature of the dissertation program and the action-based dissertation. Being able to address and identify an issue or a problem and come up with solutions to it. One of the things that I learned at Drexel was learn how to think outside the box and think creatively. Our professors really provide the opportunity for creative thinking, really made us look at what are the real issues and problems that are taking place in education and what can we do to try to solve them. Being able to work with the other individuals in my cohort to be able to learn from them and learn from their experiences. I'm so proud of our group. Believe it or not, we've all stayed in touch ever since we've left Drexel. We have a group text that we check in on quite a bit. I actually shot a message to them last week to let them know I was gonna be doing this today because I just shamefully plug everything I do. But we were really provided with an opportunity to come together as a group and a cohort and a community. And that's something that's really carried over, you know, after our experience at Drexel. So being able to do it hybrid, being able to learn that problem-solving nature of the dissertation process and really making friends and colleagues for the rest of my life, I think is something that was incredibly appealing about the Drexel experience and has carried over into what I'm doing today.
Well, that's fabulous, especially, you know, talking about the problem-solving nature of the dissertation process. So tell us a little bit about how you came to your particular problem of practice. You know, what was it that you were interested in? What did you learn about it? And then what would you say now is the most significant impact of what you've learned?
So at the time I was going to Drexel, I was working as the director of counseling at an independent school. Small community, wonderful school. One of the things that we needed was more supports for our students with learning needs. We were providing students with supports, but we didn't have any formal supports for that. One of the things that I learned while I was working with these students was that they just needed a little bit of extra. They needed a little bit more with regard to support in order for them to be academically successful. So at the same time, I was researching how to create these types of programs at the school I was working at. I was working on my dissertation research. So I had kind of parallel roads going at the same time. The research that I did for my dissertation to learn how students with learning needs define success and what types of supports they need really served as the blueprint for the programming that we were putting together at the school that I was working at. So concurrent to doing my dissertation research, I was doing research to create this program as well. Probably the greatest impact that took place as a result of that dissertation research is that that program was created at that school. And that program still exists today. And students are able to receive the supports that they need in order to be academically successful, even though they have a learning difference. And they are able to define success by not just their academic data, but how they feel about what they're doing, how their parents feel about what they're doing, and how to create a pipeline to what their next step is going to be in their academic journey. Carrying over to what I'm doing at Chestnut Hill currently, creating programs for students and for adults that are neurodiverse, it's the same concept. creating robust supports, both at the undergraduate level and in our proposed life skills program. And all of the research that I did while I was at Drexel really laid the blueprint and the groundwork to be able to understand how to create wraparound services for individuals so that they can receive the types of supports that they need, whether they are an undergraduate achieving a degree or they are an adult trying to achieve vocational training and life skills so that they can go out in the world and they can live independently to take care of themselves, work a job, pay bills, do laundry, cook, clean, keep an apartment, things of that nature. So it really started with the research I started doing at Drexel. And I remember our professors telling us, you know, that this isn't the Save the World project. The best dissertation in the world is the one that you finish. So don't think too big. Try to really hone in on something specific, solve a specific problem. And I was able to interview some students at a great school that were able to give me information that allowed me to be able to create the stories of these students and their journey. And that really became the phenomenological piece of this study. What was their experience in school? How did they feel about it? How did they define success? And where are they going in life? Because that's really the most important thing. These programs we're putting together here at Chestnut Hill are about helping people learn how to work, but also help people to learn how to have a life.
Well, your dissertation research indeed has had significance in many areas, Dr. Stunder. It is really incredible to hear about the impact it all has had, and I'm sure that it will continue to be impactful in different ways. So as you know, one of the Drexel differences is our focus on sustainable leadership. This includes a lot, right? Understanding how systems work and coming to understand how one's own worldview, values, beliefs, and habits of mind really influence one's own leadership. So how did this impact the way you see yourself within your own context?
There are a couple of concepts that I learned while I was at Drexel that absolutely have followed me to my leadership style today. The first one has to do with our study of Otto Scharmer and the idea of observation. When I was younger in my professional career and I would go into a leadership position, you kind of just go in on fire. You know, you want to change everything, you want to fix everything, you want to know what's not working and what works right away. And one thing I learned coming into Drexel was you have to observe what's taking place in a specific system first. You have to learn what works, you have to learn what doesn't work, and you need to learn from the people that are there what it is that is working for that particular system. It allowed me to kind of take a step back and take a breath. My dissertation chair was Dr. Gould. And I remember Dr. Gould saying that you really just need to take a minute and recognize what it is that's working about the place that you're going before you change a single thing. And that was really impactful for me because you think as a leader, you have to come in and you have to change everything right away and make it in your own image. And it's actually the complete opposite. You want to understand what works first. You want to understand the people that work for you and with you. You want to understand what is great about them before you change a single thing. Another one of the great impacts was the concept of the balcony and the dance floor. Being able to see everything from above in the balcony view, understanding how systems work from far away, realizing all of the different pieces that go into a specific system working, and then going down on the dance floor and being able to see things from the, we'll call it the street level. What are the things that you need to do in order to impact the people that are doing that work every single day? These are things I did not know before I got to Drexel. And I had held leadership positions before I had gotten there, and I could really see the difference in what it is I do now, how I approach things, changes that I've made in different areas. When I got to Chestnut Hill, we ended up making a lot of changes in the Human Services Management Program. But we didn't make those changes right away. We wanted to see what types of things existed, what systems were in place, what courses worked, what things needed to be tweaked, what needed to be added. But in order to do that, I needed to teach all of the courses in the program first. I needed to understand what the students needed first. I needed to go through it at least once to be able to understand what the students were receiving and the service that they were receiving before changing anything. And I think that that is something that I would not have done had I not had the experience at Drexel that I did, learning about observation, learning about the balcony view, and learning about the view from the dance floor.
That's fabulous. So, I mean, especially as we think about systems, you know, a big core piece of what we do in the EDD is really focused on equity, ethics, and social justice. And so we've certainly been strengthening that as the program grows and develops. But talk to us a little bit about what that means to you. How has your experience in the Drexel EDD or your dissertation research, how has it really impacted your ability to contribute to equity, social justice, or anti-racist practices in your current professional practice?
Well, the first piece is that my concentration in my EDD was in educational policy. So many of the courses that I took had to do with equity and access. And what are the things that we need to do to ensure that individuals that are receiving educational services, that they have access to it, and that it is equitable. My research really was to create opportunities for students on the margins, students who had learning needs, may not have been receiving the services that they need or the supports that they need, and really learning how to advocate for themselves and be able to receive the services that are going to help them be most successful. At Chestnut Hill, our mission is working with individuals on the margins, working with individuals who may not be receiving the things that they need. And the mission of Chestnut Hill College is deeply rooted in social justice. Our centers that we have here at Chestnut Hill, we don't have departments, we have centers. I'm working in human services, and the human services is housed in the Education, Advocacy, and Social Justice Center. And creating the programs that we are with regard to individuals with neurodiverse needs is reaching an underserved population. I learned how to do these things during my time at Drexel University. I was taught how to think creatively, how to create strategies for learning how to serve individuals who need that type of service. I will say that the professors that I had and the people that we worked with, it really provided us with ways in which to think around the problem and be able to create solutions that are going to have the most impact on the people that need it the most. Our motto here at Chestnut Hill has to do with serving the dear neighbor and doing so in a way that you would serve anyone that you know. And I think that looking back on my time at Drexel, it really taught me how to see, how do I solve problems for people who really need it? How can I view what's going on in the world in such a way that we can create solutions for people that solutions have not been created for? And I think about the students that we were able to serve in my previous employment. I think about the individuals that have been served in my time in human services at different agencies. And I also think about the people that we're going to serve in the future in our neurodiversity initiative. I think about all those people and all of their needs. And how was I taught to serve those people? Drexel University taught me how to serve those people. And I'm bringing what I learned in my doctoral studies into the work that I'm doing every single day. And I see that as the greatest impact because it's impacting what I'm doing professionally and personally every day.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sunder. You have had a very successful career as an educator, therapist, administrator, author, and now podcast host. Out of all those things, what has been the greatest impact of the EDD on your career?
I think really just giving me the vision to be able to do all of these things. I learned a lot about myself when I was going to Drexel. There were a lot of things going on in my life. I was working, I was a parent, I was going to school. It taught me how to balance all those things. You know, getting a little bit older, you learn that there are a lot of things that are going on in your life, but you need to give the proper amount of attention to each one. I think when I was going to school when I was younger, you know, you do things and you try to get them done, but you don't really have an appreciation for what it is you're doing or why you're doing it. I think that going to Drexel with all of the things that were going on in my life and all the work that I was doing and being a parent, I think that it really gave me an appreciation for the necessity to be able to give the proper amount of attention and time to everything. Drexel really taught me and had an impact on all the things I'm doing now, because it taught me I can do it. It taught me that I can do the research and I can get it through a committee, and that I can work collaboratively with people. Something that, you know, I had these skills earlier in my career and earlier in my life, but Drexel just made them better. I think that coming out the other side of the dissertation process really taught me I could do it. Because you go into that dissertation process with cautious optimism. And I'll never forget one of my first days of class being told that there are so many people who never finish it. And you're sitting there thinking, that's not going to be me. And I will tell you, my dissertation sat for a decent amount of time because I was changing jobs. And there were just a lot of other factors that contributed to it taking a little bit longer than I anticipated. But there were definitely moments where I thought to myself, this is what they were talking about. When you're going through the dissertation process, you know, you've gone to class with all of the individuals that are in your cohort up to that point, and they're cheering you on and they're pushing you. And then you go into the dissertation process and you're kind of on your own little island by yourself. You know, you have your chairperson, but you're really the reason and the show. You have to get it done for you. And the impact that this had on me was teaching me that I can start something professionally and educationally, and I can finish it. And that has taught me in all the programs that I've put together, what the process is. And when you start something, you work in the middle and you have hiccups and you have difficulties along the way. But when you finish, you look back with a great deal of accomplishment. And that's one of the best feelings about the time I had at Drexel, is that accomplishment.
Well, you have certainly accomplished so much professionally, and it sounds like you have lots of plans. So tell us a little bit about what's next. What's coming up in the next 5 years? What kind of impact do you want to have?
I think over the next 5 years, especially in my role here at Chestnut Hill, we're looking to build our human services program, partnering with agencies to be able to provide their employees with opportunities to go into management. We're creating a series of workshops where we're working with agencies to do some leadership training. We are creating opportunities for future school counselors to be able to go out in the world and do great things. Our programs for neurodiversity are only going to build bigger over the course of the next 4 to 5 years. My hope in the next 4 or 5 years is that we have a program where we are providing that service to individuals at the undergraduate level. We have pipelines coming into that program from high schools. We have pipelines out of that program going into careers. And our life skills program is running hopefully as a residential and a day program over the course of the next 4 or 5 years. We have individuals coming to us from all sorts of places that want to receive exceptional service, learn how to live, learn how to work, learn how to grow, go back out into the community and do great things. For myself, I want to keep teaching. I want to keep building. I want to keep writing. I'm writing probably 2 to 3 articles a year on different educational policy pieces. I've written on Common Core. I've written on teacher leadership. I've written on demographics. I have an article coming up on self-care in helping professions. I'm hoping to create some opportunity to have some discussion in articles in the neurodiverse space as well. Learning how to help these individuals not only work, but live, write about relationships and write about what opportunities individuals who are neurodiverse can have outside of their professions so that they can learn how to have a life. And I wanna make sure I'm just creating things that are going to help people. I wanna try to use the skills that I've had at Drexel and be able to take those skills into the world, create change, find problems, present solutions, and really take all the things that I learned from all the great people at Drexel and just bring them into the world and have that impact. Not always in big ways. Want to make sure that we're having that impact in small ways on a daily basis as well.
All right, thank you. Thank you for sharing the impact that the EDD has had on your professional practice, Dr. Thunder. Now for a few lighter questions. If you could only choose one, what superpower would you select?
That's a great one, because I am a huge superhero fan. And today also happens to be May the 4th. which is Star Wars Day. So may the 4th be with all of you listening. But if I could be, you said superpower, but I'm going to pivot to if I could be any superhero.
Okay.
Easy. I would be Iron Man. I would be Tony Stark. I would be witty. I would be philanthropic, and I would wear that suit. And I think that the opportunity to do all those things with a little bit of suaveness, I think would be a lot of fun.
Tony Stark sounds like an excellent choice.
Indeed. Well, this one may not be easy to answer on the spot, and there's probably multiple ways to think about this, but how would you describe a perfect day? What would be a perfect day for you?
Perfect day. So I usually walk almost every day. So a perfect day for me would be to get up in the morning. I usually get up between like 5:15 and 5:30 every day. I worked at a high school for 8 years. So my body is just conditioned to wake up at that time. So I get up in the morning, go take a great walk, listen to a great podcast. I'm a huge fan of a lot of different kinds of podcasts or music and listen to that while I'm walking. Come home, have some coffee, get ready for the day, come to work, teach, work with my colleagues, write a little bit, talk to my kids throughout the course of the day. One of the great things about technology is it offers us the opportunity to be able to interface with our families throughout the course of the workday. So getting texts from my kids are the best throughout the course of the day, asking them how they're doing, asking them what they're working on. My oldest son is a student here at Chestnut Hill. One of the things that I would love to do is just bump into him in the hallway, say hi, how's it going? Have him be on his way to class, talk to my kids, you know, about the things that they're doing and places they're going and how their day is going and what are they doing after school. Come home, relax, watch a little TV, maybe a game, go to sleep, get up and do it again. That to me is a perfect day.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. And I love that you're able to interface, like you said, with your children while at work. That sounds like a wonderful thing. Last question. What has been the best live performance you have seen? So concert, play, comedy show?
I guess professionally, I would say years ago, I saw Bruce Springsteen in concert and the E Street Band. And it's a funny story because the company that my dad used to work for, they used to get tickets to all kinds of things. And they were supposed to take clients to this show. And I remember I was probably in my early 20s. And my dad just came up to me one day and was like, hey, we had a bunch of clients cancel. Do you want to go see Springsteen? And I was like, yes. So, and also at the time, The Sopranos was huge. So being able to see Steve Van Zandt live also was a huge thing because he's a famous Sopranos character. But it was just an amazing show. We were in a box. Bruce Springsteen was probably maybe like 100 feet in front of us. It was an incredible show. The second piece of this, live performance-wise, many of my children have participated in plays and concerts over the years. And they are incredibly, incredibly talented. Their mother runs a high school theater program, and I've had the opportunity to see all of my children on the stage at their high school performances. And that has been just a joy to be able to see my kids performing live in all capacities. And they've done a wonderful job. So professionally, I would say seeing Springsteen was amazing. And on a personal note, seeing my kids on stage live numerous times has been pretty wonderful. Most recently, my son, Steven, played Gaston in Beauty and the Beast, and he was incredible. And it was just such a joy to be able to see that. And having been able to see all my kids perform live has really, really been a joy.
Great. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to have EDD alumnus Dr. Steve Stunder on Impact today. Thank you for sharing with us all the incredible ways that you have been impactful in society, in your family, with friends. And we are always incredibly honored and excited ourselves to hear about the amazing ways our EDD alums are having an impact in the world. Dr. Stunder's bio will be posted with the link to this episode on our EDD program website. Thank you for tuning in to Impact. We look forward to the next episode where we hear from other alums about the impact that earning a Drexel EdD has had on their professional practice, research, policy changes in the larger society. Goodbye for now.